composer that I introduced to Holden Village some years ago, maybe the first time I was up here, which was 1964, was a composer named Henry Cowell. Henry Cowell, American, who believed in exploring the piano beyond just the keys. And all of you young people, when you get home, if you have a piano in the house, and you can do it with an upright, doesn't work with a spinet so well, but you can do it with, of course, a grand piano, and you can also do it, as I say, with an upright. When the piano like this, nothing sounds, of course, until I push a key down. When I push a key down, that means that string is going to vibrate, and that's how the sound is made. Now, the other way you can do that, of course, is to put down the right pedal, the damper pedal, on the piano. Now, by pushing that damper pedal down, that means all of the strings on the piano are now free to vibrate. So you can go home and sing to your piano, and your piano will sing back to you, like, ah. And this will amaze your parents, young people. You know, but you have to sing with a pretty loud voice. And so when you go things like, ooh! One of the things you'll hear is more than one pitch, because the piano also, because of its vibrations, will give you the harmonic of that pitch, an octave and a half higher. We won't go into all that. Okay, so Henry Cowell wrote all kinds of pieces for the piano. And he did a very wild piece, which I'm not going to play tonight, which I have done up here before, which is all about tone clusters, because Henry Cowell believed that if this is a chord, and if this is a chord, and if this is a chord, then obviously any notes played together are a chord. So this is a chord, you know, because it's a bunch of chords, notes being played together, and so is this. So anything can become a chord, okay? So he wrote a piece of music in which he wanted to explore quietly inside the piano. And what he did is simply that you strum on the keys. But obviously, if I strum on the keys and haven't pushed anything down, nothing will happen. So what you do is silently depress the keys that you want. And so when I strum, the others won't sound, only the ones that are silently depressed. Okay? So here's this little piece called the Aeolian Harp. Thank you. playing a piece like that, well, after a while, the ends of your fingers get firm and all of that. If you ever shaken hands with a harpist, harpists have the toughest tips of their fingers of anybody you'll see. Very, very sharp, very tough, because of having to just do exactly what I'm doing all the time, pushing it. Now I'm going to play a piece that's extremely soft for 8 minutes. So if you feel that you're going to have a child cry, I'd love you not to keep the child in here right now, because this is 8 minutes of extremely soft music. This is a piece by Messiaen. Olivier Messiaen wrote tons of piano music. And this piano piece that he wrote, among many of them, he wrote one piece called 20 Glances at the Baby Jesus. And it was all kinds of glances. The glance of God, the glance of this, the glance of that. And I had thought about doing the whole piece. It takes about an hour and a half. But I felt that perhaps some would not want that much Messiaen, so we won't. He was a very, very deeply religious man. And this particular piece is glance number 15, the kiss of the baby Jesus. And he writes it as an introduction. At each communion, Jesus comes to us through the door. Then the door opens into a garden and gives all of the light which we can then embrace. It's all filled with lots of that kind of imagery. And there's three little sections to it. The first section is the theme of God as a lullaby. The second, which is the loud part, is the kiss itself, the kiss of the baby Jesus. And then finally, the last section, which is again very soft, is the shadow of the kiss washing over you. composers of the French school is the composer Francis Poulenc. Poulenc, who died only in the 1990s, a phenomenal pianist, wonderful composer, wrote all kinds of great music, some of it real wacky. He wrote this great opera called The Breasts of Tiresias, which was a story, a play by Apollinaire, was written during World War I. After the end of the war, the population of France had been decimated, and so there was truly an encouragement from the French government to have babies. And so Apollinaire wrote this piece about how France could suddenly have a million babies, you know. I mean, it's a bizarre story. But anyway, so you can see the kind of thing that would have attracted Poulenc. But he was also attracted to other kinds of things, and one of them was that he decided to team up with Jean de Brunhoff, the writer, and do a setting of Babar, the little elephant. And so what he did is write a piece for narrator and piano. And so the narrator tells the story, and then the piano sort of gives you all of the environment and all the things that are happening. And so I welcome our narrator this evening, Mr. Tom Holstrom.
The story of Babar, the little elephant. Music by Francis Poulenc, words by Jean de Brunhoff. In the great forest, a little elephant was born. His name was Babar. His mother loved him dearly and used to rock him to sleep with her trunk, singing to him softly all the while. Babar grew fast. Soon he was playing with the other baby elephants. He was one of the nicest of them. Look at him, digging in the sand with a shell. One day, Babar was having a lovely ride on his mother's back. Suddenly, a cruel hunter hiding behind a bush shot at them. The hunter killed Babar's mother. The monkey hid himself. The birds flew away. The hunter ran up to catch poor Babar. Babar was very frightened and ran away from the hunter. After some days, tired and footsore, he came to a town. He was amazed, for it was the first time he had ever seen so many houses. What strange things he saw! Beautiful avenues, motor cars and motor buses. But what interested Babar most of all were two gentlemen he met in the street. He thought to himself, "What lovely clothes they've got! I wish I could have some, too. But how can I get them?" Luckily, he was seen by a very rich old lady who understood little elephants and knew at once that he was longing for a smart suit. She loved making others happy, so she gave him her purse. "Thank you, madame," said Babar. Now, Babar made his home in the old lady's house. Every morning they did their exercises together, and then Babar had his bath. Every day he drove out in the car that the old lady had bought him. She gave him everything that he wanted. And yet, Babar was not altogether happy. He could no longer play about in the great forest with his little cousins and his friends, the monkeys. And he often gazed out of the window, dreaming of his childhood. And when he thought of his dear mother, he used to cry. Thank you. 2 years passed by. One day he was out for a walk when he met two little elephants with no clothes on. "Why, here are Arthur and Celeste, my two little cousins," he cried in amazement to the old lady. Babar hugged Arthur and Celeste and took them to buy some lovely clothes. Next, he took them to a tea shop, where they had some delicious cakes. Meanwhile, in the great forest, all the elephants were searching for Arthur and Celeste, and their mothers grew more and more anxious. Luckily, an old bird flying over the town had spied them and hurried back to tell the other elephants. The mothers went to the town to fetch Arthur and Celeste. They were very glad when they found them, but they scolded them all the same for having run away. Babar made up his mind to return to the great forest with Arthur and Celeste and their mothers. When everything was ready for the journey, Babar kissed his old friend goodbye. He promised to come back to her and never to forget her. The old lady was left alone, sadly thinking,
"When shall I see my little Babar again?"
Off they went. There was no room for the mother elephants in the car, so they ran behind, lifting their trunks so as not to breathe in the dust. Alas, that very day, the king of the elephants, during his walk, had eaten a bad mushroom. It had poisoned him. He became very ill. So ill that he died. It was a terrible misfortune. After his funeral, the oldest elephants met together to choose a new king. Just at that moment, they heard a noise and turned around. What a wonderful sight they saw! It was Babar arriving in his car with all the elephants running and shouting, "Here they are! Here they are! They have come back! Hello, Babar! Hello, Arthur! Hello, Celeste! What lovely clothes! What a beautiful car!" Then Cornelius, the oldest elephant of all, said in his quavering voice,
"My dear friends, we must have a new king. Why not choose Babar? He has come back from the town where he has lived among men and learnt much. Let us offer him the crown."
All the elephants thought that Cornelius had spoken wisely, and they listened eagerly to hear what Babar would say. "I thank you all," said Babar, "but before accepting the crown, I must tell you that on our journey in the car, Celeste and I got engaged to be married. If I become your king, she will be your queen." "Long live Queen Celeste! Long live King Babar!" the elephants shouted with one voice. And that was how Babar became king. Then Babar said, "Cornelius, you have such good ideas that I shall make you a general. And when I get my crown, I will give you my hat. In a week's time, I am going to marry Celeste. We will give a grand party to celebrate our marriage and our coronation." And Babar asked the birds to take invitations to all the animals. The guests began to arrive. The camel, who went to town to buy a fine wedding dress. Bought it just in time for the ceremony. The Wedding of Babar. The Coronation of Babar. After the wedding and the coronation, everyone danced merrily. The birds sang with the orchestra. The party was over. Night fell. And the stars came out. The hearts of King Babar and Queen Celeste were filled with happy dreams. And then all the world slept. The guests had gone home very pleased, but were very tired after dancing so much. For many a long day, they will remember that wonderful ball. The end. Thank you.
And since I ended in E-flat, we end in E-flat with one short piece of Percy Grainger, the arrangement that he made of an old English Morris dancing tune called Country Gardens.